United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
And that he and others have been placed under a travel ban.
Anything short of a resignation, or rather the military forcing out President Morsi or setting up some sort of plan to have early elections, will disappoint this crowd. And we heard from President Morsi last night, who was adamant that he would not be stepping down. He said he was elected in free and fair elections. He kept going back to the legitimacy. He blamed the remnants of the Mubarak regime for causing this trouble. So he will not be stepping down. The headline from his speech last night was that he said he's ready to die for the presidency.
ABC's Alex Marquardt in Cairo. The White House says it will delay implementation of a controversial part of health care reform. It requires all workplaces with at least 50 employees to provide health insurance.
It has big political implications for Republicans who have been saying all along that this law cannot be implemented, cannot be managed. It raises questions about the other aspects of the law. And rather conveniently, perhaps for Democrats, it means that Obamacare, a big portion of it, actually won't go into effect until after the midterm congressional elections.
That's ABC News political director Rick Klein. Planned layoffs up in June, more than 39,000 of them, mostly in the computer and education areas. But overall, pink slips are down.
These cuts we're seeing mostly are coming from the kinds of rationale that happen in good times, you know, mergers and acquisitions, or a company that's just not doing very well vis-a-vis its competitors. We're not seeing big, heavy cuts across the board.
John Challenger with the employment firm Challenger Gray and Christmas. The market's just closed, Dow at 52 points. This is ABC News.
Hey, what you doing?
I'm online looking at a satellite view of the neighborhood.
Huh. What's with all the dots?
Green means it's for sale, yellow means sold.
Gotcha. Hey, is that the house we looked at?
Yeah, I love it. Maybe we should talk to a realtor, make an offer?
Did that house just go from green to yellow?
Yeah, sold. Right before our very eyes.
Buyers are in the market, but there's a shortage of homes for sale. If you've been thinking about selling, now may be the right time. Every market's different. Call a realtor today or visit realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Sometimes in life, you just get lucky. Like when you slide into a rock star parking spot or get a great table at that hot new restaurant. But luck won't protect you from identity theft. And that's why Identity Guard offers top-rated identity theft protection for less than a dollar a day. Act now and get free protection for your kids, the latest targets for identity thieves. Get it now for less than a dollar a day at identityguard.com/dollar. That's identityguard.com/dollar.
If you're looking for a job, there are signs that it may be easier to find one. ABC's Richard Davies explains.
The new ADP payroll survey says private employers created 188,000 new jobs last month, more than the recent average.
Feels a little bit better. I mean, the last several months we've been getting job growth closer to 150,000.
Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics, says more construction jobs are a plus.
This is encouraging. It suggests that housing is kicking into a higher gear.
Claims for unemployment benefits fell slightly last week. The one-month average for jobless claims down 9% in the past year. Richard Davies, ABC News.
The Bay Area Rapid Transit Agency and its striking union workers are scheduled to continue contract talks as a union negotiator says they're making some progress in discussions. The morning commute in the San Francisco area, however, was snarled for a third day in a row as the rail system remained shut down. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Ladies, when was the last time you were happy with your body? If you're like most women, it was before you turned 40. That's because age 40 is when hormonal imbalance starts causing symptoms like hot flashes, sleeplessness, low energy, irritability, and lack of sexual desire. Now we have Ambaren. Ambaren is clinically shown to balance hormones and relieve the uncomfortable symptoms of menopause. Right now you can receive a guaranteed risk-free trial of Ambaren with a 30-day supply.
Bubba Burger is America's number one burger, gluten-free, all-natural, and never any fillers or preservatives. Bubba Burger is always the quality you can trust. Great for your 4th of July parties. Find them today in your local grocer's freezer. You'll never bite a burger better than a Bubba.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Where do you find the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio? At your local Ford dealer. The totally redesigned Fusion. Now just sign and drive away in a new Fusion with no cash due at signing. Visit drive1ohio.com.
Hey, what you doing?
I'm online looking at a satellite view of the neighborhood.
Huh. What's with all the dots?
Green means it's for sale. Yellow means sold.
Gotcha. Hey, is that the house we looked at?
Yeah, I love it. Maybe we should talk to a realtor. Make an offer?
Did that house just go from green to yellow?
Yeah, sold. Right before our very eyes.
Buyers are in the market, but there's a shortage of homes for sale. If you've been thinking about selling, now may be the right time. Every market's different. Call a realtor today or visit realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. And I have a gentleman by the name of Don Smith on with me, and he has a Don Smith show. And if you Google the Don Smith show, you can find him. He's a conservative talk show host, and he doesn't mind tackling the hard topics of life. And when Styx brought him to me, it says, check out this guy. He wants to talk about race and guns. And so, Don?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I said to Styx during the break, I said, you know, Styx, you can't ask a white guy why black people do stuff. He said, but I thought he was black. I said, no, he's not black. He's a white guy. He's like, are you serious? I said, look at this picture. I just became a trend on Facebook. Look. You got to know me, Don. You got to know.
Well, I'm always happy to talk about any issue. And I think that's one of the big issues that people are afraid to talk about. And I don't understand why they're afraid to talk about it.
Yeah. And I said, you can't ask a white guy why black people do stuff. That's just crazy. He's like, but he's black.
That's what you get for hiring part-time help.
But I pay you so well.
Yes, you do. You pay me so well.
See, I pay you so well for the part-time help that you do.
That's right.
See that?
Don't let you know you get exactly what you pay for.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I've been blessed enough that I pay bad, and I got great people. Because I went out of town last week, Don, and I did not turn on the show but for about 15 minutes. And when I came back, the studio let me come in the door, and they didn't change the locks.
Well, there you go. That's great.
How do we get people to break down the barriers of division that our media and our society and our administrations and our politics tend to want to forge? Because the last thing that they want is for old people and young people to appreciate each other, black people and white people to understand each other, men and women to compromise with each other to make things happen in America.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I'm involved in right now is this D.C. March for Jobs. Again, it's about immigration. And one of the interesting factors of this is it's the Black American Leadership Alliance, which has started this whole thing, but we brought on board Tea Party members. So here you're going to have – and also there's a group called Progressives for Immigration Reform that's involved in this. So this is really interesting because if you look at the way things are so divided today, along racial lines, along political lines for sure, but here's an opportunity where all these groups are coming together from the left, the far left, the right, the far right. Everybody's coming together to stand on one issue. And how many times can we say we've seen that over the last several years now? But this, I think that's what's really interesting about what's going on here is you're going to have Tea Party people standing together with the Black American Leadership Alliance, with Progressives for Immigration Reform. It's going to be really an interesting event on July 15th in Washington, D.C. We're going to march from Freedom Plaza at 9:30 a.m. We're going to march to the steps of the U.S. Capitol, where we're going to have, Alan West is there. Leah Durant, who is the head of Black American Leadership Alliance. We've got Congressman Mo Brooks, Reverend Dozier, we've got Wayne Dupree, Michael Cutler, but it's just going to be people that believe in this issue and are on the same side of it. And I think that's really an interesting thing to see happen in today's society, the way we are so divided.
Because we are. We are very, very divided. And I was at a conference last week, and I asked the chairman of the Democrat Party of the state of Ohio, I asked him a question, and I said to him, I said, why would you allow, because I believe in fair, honest elections. And I asked him, why would you allow for anyone to politicize the integrity of the vote in Ohio just based on political attainment? Because they try to talk about voter suppression.
Mm-hmm.
And they politicize
right.
a very, very good process in a way to engage and mobilize people to have the inertia and the motivation to go and vote.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you erode the Constitution and the political cycle and the fabric that we have as our democracy for political gain?
Right.
He never answered the question.
Well, what scares me about what's going on with our elections process is there's only two things that keep human beings from shooting at each other over politics, and that's an honest belief in fair elections or an authoritarian state.
And my issue is, why since we have such a great we live in a great country,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, we have some things that are wrong and we do some bad things. America needs to quit thinking that they're so all good because we have green grass and white fences. Because how we treat our veterans, you know, we do some bad things,
mm-hmm.
and God has blessed us. But we don't understand that we are dividing the United States and it's weakening us as a nation. The division of America will weaken us as a superpower.
Well, already has.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so, Don, how do we wake up? I mean, it's Independence Day tomorrow. We're gonna blast off fireworks. And we're gonna celebrate our independence. We look over at Egypt and we don't even know what to do with that. And we're going to eat, you know, barbecues and picnics and water slides and all that kind of stuff and have family. We're going to go in and out of our arenas freely. Yet we're not going to embrace the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence that we so much should.
Yep. Yeah, and again, I think that's tomorrow is a great day for every American. In this case, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care what your ethnicity is, your religious views. This is a great day for every American citizen to appreciate what this country is. And you're right, we're not perfect. It's because we have green grass, white fences. We're not perfect. But you don't see people – you don't have immigration problems going on in these other countries because people want to go there for opportunity. We've got to remember why this is such a great country and why everybody has opportunity in this country. That's, again, I go back to, that's why I get so frustrated with Barack Obama for many different reasons. I don't like his political views. I differ with those. But here's a man who attained the highest status in this country, but he doesn't seem to want to share that wisdom with other people. And here's how you can get where I got, and here's how it happened for me. It's all about dividing people, putting them in a box, and saying, well, you're over here and you have no opportunity. Everybody in this country has opportunity. It's just you've got to work for it. I mean, you can't just sit around. It's not going to knock on your door and show up on your doorstep. And if you're told by the leaders of this country that you don't have opportunity, eventually you're going to start believing that. And that's really, I think, what's really dangerous right now.
I think the progressives of America don't want us to be independent. They like having us to be mobilized. Poor people make money in America, and I don't think people realize that. Poor people make
right.
money for people that want to make money.
Well, we were just talking before Don came on about the disabled gentleman that they didn't want him to go off of disability because it cut their funding.
That's right. They don't want – we need people to be dependent on the system so that we can have influence and power and I can mobilize you, because as long as I feed you, you'll follow me.
I mean, look at the incentive that school districts have to diagnose children with ADD.
It's more money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't think people realize how much of a commodity they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well,
and especially
I think you made a key point there. I think you made a key point there. I agree. Progressives don't want them to realize what a commodity they are. They want them to be dependent on the government, and that's dependency means control for the side that's providing the services and the whatever it is, whether it's welfare or housing assistance or whatever, disability payments in the case you just mentioned. Progressives don't want people to realize they are a commodity and they do have a power to change their life. You can wake up any day and say, I'm not going to make these bad decisions anymore. I'm going to start doing this to achieve my goals, my dreams, and have success in life.
And it is a process, and it's very, very difficult. It really is. But inside of the difficulty to do the right thing is not always easy. You know, sacrificing how we, it's not always easy. But it's important for the longevity. You know, I look at how we have conditioned people to not work.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, and this is not about race, nobody in America wants to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How can you have a future if you don't work?
You know, I think a lot of it for me, it boils down to personal responsibility. So when you look at liberals, progressives, at some, it's all about fairness. What we hear from this administration is everything's about fairness. Well, I'm sorry, at some point, the decisions we make in our life, if I wake up tomorrow and decide, you know what, I'm going to start taking drugs and I'm going to lay around the house, or, and I'm not saying that that's the case that everybody's doing that, but when you try to make everything about fairness and say everybody should be equal, the work person that gets up in the morning, works hard all day, should be the same as the person who gets up and doesn't do that. That's wrong. And that's, opportunity is just what it is. It's opportunity. It's whether you turn that into something. What do you do with your 24 hours in that day? And that should make a difference. There should be consequences to your personal actions, decisions that you make, and you should be able to learn from those. But if everything's fair, how is anybody ever going to learn from their mistake? If everybody gets a trophy, then, well,
Don,
how's anybody going to want to improve?
Did you see the other day when they were on the one of the TV shows where they said, we shouldn't tell our children no because it gives them an inferiority complex?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly. Of course you should tell your kids no. A job as a parent, you look at what's, okay, we had the First Lady, Michelle Obama. We shouldn't just leave it up to the kids talking about what they eat. Or shouldn't just leave it up to the parents, I'm sorry. No. We want the parents to be more involved with the kids. Are all parents great parents? Of course they're not. But it is the parents' decision. We had the comment that kids should belong to the community and parents shouldn't think that they're their kids. Well, this is ridiculous.
Where did that come from?
Play. Exactly.
Where did that concept, you know, my mother, you know, we have this cliche, I brought you in this world and I'll take you out.
I know where that came from.
It didn't come from Cosby.
Came from Karl Marx.
Who?
That the kids belong to the community.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly where it came from. Karl Marx.
Yep. Yep.
Socialist, fascist, communist, that whole group of statists believe that the children belong to the community.
Mm-hmm.
They belong to the state.
And the guns belong to who?
The state.
And I belong to who?
The state.
Who does the state belong to?
The people at the top.
Well, who are the people at the top? And why am I not one of them?
Because you're not allowed, because you weren't born into the right family. And you don't have the right political affiliations. And you didn't go to the right college.
Yeah.
I got a problem. Don, are you in the family?
No. I'm with you. We both got problems.
I mean, just look at what we've done to our children. You know, every kid I've ever met, 4 or 5 years old, they all wanted to learn and they all wanted to work. How many kids, you know, you end up shooing them away because they always want to help daddy or always want to help mommy. And yet we send them to school and we don't challenge them, or we try to teach them in ways they don't learn. And then have you looked at the child labor law board out here, Tracy? What you can't let a child do?
I'm not reading that board.
Just look at it sometimes. You'll lose your mind.
Hey, Don, do you have children?
Yes, I do. Two children, and they're grown. And they're grown and on their own.
Work?
Yes.
Did you make them work? You're one
yes,
of those
I did.
Parents.
And I actually said no to them a couple times, too.
Oh, my. No,
I know.
You shouldn't tell them no.
Did you apply some blunt force trauma to the backside on occasion?
You know, I believe I did. I believe I did. And
you
I think it worked,
call,
too.
Actually, yeah. Someone told me the other day that's called love. I'm gonna apply some love to your backside.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you look at this, just for example, take this, because we're talking about the kids, and I mentioned Michelle Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama, making her comment that we can't leave it up to the parents. And so now you've got schools that are actually providing, some schools are providing 3 meals a day. Think about that for a minute. And they're saying that this is because the kids aren't eating at home. If the kids aren't eating at home, I think the real problem is what's going on in that house. If you've got
but now I have a question,
kids,
Dawn. Now, God, I got a question for you. They're not eating at home, but I can't, as a school, I'm a former school board member, but I can't convince them to have year-round school.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you to understand this. I say, well, you know, we are no longer on the agricultural calendar because I don't know too many kids going out on the farm in the summertime. So why don't we have year-round school so that we don't have that great educational lull for the 3 months they're off in the summertime? And then because they can't eat at home, then we don't have to spend a whole lot of money, as we normally would, in all these summer programs to try to feed the kids through the daycare program. And everybody looks at me like I said a bad word. I thought we were trying to feed the kids.
Right, right.
Tracy, my church makes up backpacks and hands them out on Fridays so kids have something to eat over the weekend. And they bring them back on Monday.
I'm confused.
I'm very confused too.
You, you know, I think if we get into that, you talk about that, and again, I got to go back to the fact that what's the real issue here? If there are really kids that aren't being fed at home, that is a problem.
That's
so,
a problem.
That's a huge problem.
But I think the problem is more on the rationale and the reasoning of why they're not eating.
Mm-hmm.
Because money is, if you look at food, if you've got 3 kids, your food card from your state is a nice chunk of change when it comes to, I mean, if you really, because going from a working family on how much you get to spend per month on food and going to a person that is on a state-issued food distribution card, there is a great disparity unless you're very, very wealthy or have a very, very good job on how much you get to spend per month on food.
I can tell you when I get in line behind those people almost every time, the cuts of meat that's in their cart are way nicer than the cuts of meat that are in my cart.
6, you don't count. You're a prepper. I keep, you know, Don, you have to understand. I try to explain to him he doesn't count in this equation. You know, you don't count. My problem is when I see you buying a Red Bull by the case.
But you can't buy TP.
But you can't buy toilet paper. That's my issue. And I know that, right. And don't get me wrong, I know that there are some people out there that deserve and need the assistance. But there is a way to budget so that you can actually maintain. 614, your mic is on. I know that's Steve.
Hello. Yep.
Hi, Diva.
Wow, it's been a minute. Hey. And I'm like, after I pressed up on it, I said, why did I press up on it at this moment when they're having this exact conversation?
Dawn, this is my liberal friend.
Oh, hi, how are you doing?
Hello. I just wanted to address the part where you guys were talking about there are kids that are not eating. The kids that are having it's not that they're not getting a meal at home. It's more like they're not getting enough meals or they're not getting an adequate meal. These are not the kids whose parents are not working and getting an exuberant amount of food assistance. The majority of these kids are the kids who have parents who work, but either the household size is not large enough compared to their income ratio, so they don't fall under the guidelines, or their income, it does not meet the threshold of what the state considers is poverty in the, or, you know, low enough to consider needing food assistance.
Diva, you want to say what else happens here? Do you realize what else happens here? I get a food card for me and my two children, and I feed me and my two children and my boyfriend. No, I do not have adequate enough.
So you have, you don't. It's not. That's not. I get what you're saying, but the gist of it, and the majority of people are not in that particular situation. And even if you do have a boyfriend or a partner, sometimes, because it goes according, getting a food stamp assistance goes according to your total household income. And they calculate that according to your household size. And they count every single person living in that house. So say you are a single mother with two children and you are making $10 an hour. And you are living in a place like Columbus or trying to live in a nice school district so that your kids can have a better education. That $10 an hour that you are making with two children will not qualify you to get food assistance. So you are left struggling to pay your bills, clothe your children, and to feed your children. And it comes down to...
budgeting.
It simply comes down to that. Budgeting. And learning how
budgeting
to,
is hard.
And budgeting is hard, but even if after you pay all your bills and all you have left is... because I was watching this documentary, and there was a two-parent household. They are making, I think it was $25,000. Between the two, they're making $25,000 a year with two kids. They qualify for food stamps, but they didn't get enough for their household size, which was four. So the food stamps would run out about the second to third week, and the kids were left eating ramen noodles, rice, and beans throughout the rest of the month. Considering how active children are, and I'm not a medical expert, I'm not a doctor, but considering how active children are, and being in school for about 8 hours a day, they require more nutrition than that.
But, Diva,
so
actually,
now,
hold on. You know this as well as I do. The average meal that the average American eats is more than they actually need. Because, remember, we are major consumers of food, and that's why, you know, Michelle Obama has been a proponent of us downsizing our food portions and then making them healthier. Now, don't get me wrong. I know apples are very, very expensive, and it is a luxury now to be able to eat them on an ongoing basis. And then something I'll give you some credit on. But a lot of these things, we need to understand, people can do better. They just choose not to. And listen, I've got to take another break. You're more than willing to stay. I've got to get the senator from Louisiana coming on with us in the next hour. And you're more than willing to stay if you'd like to.
I appreciate it. I wish I could, but I do have something that I got to get done. So, but thanks for
having
me on.
Listen, thank you for coming on with us. We really appreciate it, Diva. Hopefully, you'll stick and stay. I've got to take my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. You can listen to Don Smith on the Don Smith Show. You can Google that. You can find him there. Don, I want to thank you so much. Please say you'll come back on and hang out with us again.
I'd be happy to, Tracy. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Boardman Frame House Gallery. A professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pick-up and drop-off service. They take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Going for the theme.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, or the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. JMSElderLaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
Fit family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you. And design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in super, yoga, fitness, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real wire cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austin Town. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A major sewer line project in downtown Youngstown is now more expensive and will take longer to complete. The city just approved an extra $205,000 for the $1 million project along North South Street. They were, of course, supposed to wrap up next month, but now the Public Works Department is saying they hope it's done by winter. It's still unclear how Avalon Gardens restaurant owner James Donofrio died. An autopsy result just came back and the ruling was inconclusive. Donofrio's family met with the Youngstown police and county prosecutors yesterday to go over the report. The local man's body was discovered more than a year ago. It was found along the Ohio River and was sitting in a West Virginia morgue unidentified. And four inmates in area prisons got in trouble with the law again. They're now facing federal charges after getting caught with cell phones and drugs in their jail cells. Two of the inmates are serving sentences in the Northeast Ohio Correctional Center in Youngstown. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, the Ford Focus offers quick, nimble performance, advanced technology, and great mileage. Lease a new Focus today with no cash due at signing. Another reason why Ford is the number one brand in Northeast Ohio.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
The James E. Winter Jr. Arts and Culture Center welcomes you to Theater on Three in downtown Sharon, July 18th through the 20th. A Pocket Full of Rhymes takes to the stage at 7:30. Mother Goose introduces the next generation to her greatest hits in this energetic musical review. This show for children ages 2 through 8 is based on beloved Mother Goose nursery rhymes and children's songs. Parents, grandparents, and children will enjoy the classic songs set to catchy contemporary music. All children will get front row seats where they can dance and interact with the performers. Doors open at 6 for a free dessert and candy buffet with lots of children's activities before the show. There are fun drink specials for mom and dad, too. Make your reservations today by calling 724-983-8222. That's 724-983-8222. For more upcoming events, visit accsharon.com. Sponsored by Cumulus Radio and Quaker Steak and Lube.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Well, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 35 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. And Sticks is in the studio with me, and I got a special guest today. His name is Mark Manji. He's in here on a Wednesday with me. He stopped by, and I'm glad to have him always. And we have the smartest, my hero. When Sticks told me that he got the Louisiana senator who said, you know, he's had enough, and he was stepping away from the Democrat Party.
All right.
I listened to him, and I said, he is my hero. So, Senator Lee Gilroy, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you today?
I am well. I am good, and I'm glad to have you on my show. It is a pleasure to talk with you.
It's my honor, really.
Tell me, what gave you a moment of clarity, and how can I make other folks get clarity, too?
Well, values, really. Over the last couple of years, the Democrat Party, nationally and in the state of Louisiana, have both just moved so far away from our basic values, the values that made America great and the values that are held by most Louisiana voters. So I woke up one morning and they were so far away from me that I couldn't see them with binoculars. It was time for me to make a change.
Okay, now I got that part. Now, you have some friends? Because
yes,
my friends who have the same values that I was raised with, they still think I'm crazy.
I don't understand it. Our values, the values of my community, are so basic and so moderate. I'm talking about things like gun ownership, prayer in school, marriage, big government spending, just abortion. On all of those, my community is just very conservative, and it makes no sense for us to be in the same party with people who just don't hold those values at all, or trying to turn those things upside down.
So how, I mean, because I look, and I stand with you on this, even my mom and people that I know, I mean, when you look at who we are and you say values, I believe in the Bible in which I stand on.
Amen.
And I believe the Word of God, and I believe that everything in the Bible is true from the beginning to the end. And I know even if I do some of the things in the Bible that I should not do, I know the difference between right and wrong.
Yes.
I know. If I'm shacking up, I know I'm doing wrong, but I may still be doing it, but I still know it's not right. And in today's society, we are making everything blurry to where right is wrong and gay does no longer mean happy. And it seems as though the black people and the black church seems to be walking in lockstep with calling now right, wrong, and wrong, right. And I'm so confused by that because I never thought I'd see the day where they didn't stand up and call foul.
We have to reignite the black church particularly so that the values that we espouse in church on Sundays are the same values that we take to the voting booth on Tuesdays. I can't understand it.
How did we get here? Because, you know, Senator, you are a little bit older than me. I got to see a picture of you and got to hear you speak. So you're about 3 weeks older than me. How did we get here? How did America get to this place, and especially Black America? How do we get here?
For the last 30 years or so, somewhere in the late 1960s, the Democrats started portraying themselves as the party of the people and the party of the poor. And they started to portray Republicans as the party of the wealthy. That fact, plus some really stupid remarks that some of our Republican brethren have made over the years. Some people have said some far-out things that have turned the Black community off. We need to correct the history and let people know. I mean, we need to just be careful about how we talk to people, and I think we'll be on the right track.
Now, when you actually came out, and what was the reaction? How were you received down in Louisiana when you actually did this? How did this go?
Three different receptions. Republicans, very warm reception, welcoming. My constituents, very warm reception, very welcoming. People in the Democrat Party hierarchy, the officers, have been very, very nasty to me. Used a lot of terms that I couldn't even use on a family radio show, but I'm a child of the king, and we don't get involved in that. We don't get down in the ditch. We just jump over the ditch and keep going.
How long were you a Democrat?
About 7 years.
How many years?
Although I was born into a Democrat family, and my folks have been Democrats since we started voting in South Louisiana, which is probably the mid-50s when we were able to vote.
And so you said about 7 years or 70 years?
About seven during this last time. I ran for the state legislature in an area that was very heavily Democrat, and I thought that I could spend some time in the Democrat Party. I was not correct. But I was a Republican prior to that.
How do we start educating our young people and educating our Republican colleagues into becoming more open and receptive to some of the social issues that are concerning of African Americans?
Education. We have to take the message. We have to take two messages. We have to take one message to the Republican Party, and we have to take one message to the Black communities, to the barrios and to the hoods of America, and particularly to the Black churches of America. To the Republicans, we need to talk about being more accepting to certain social issues that are important to the Black community. And then we need to the Black community, we need to talk about values, the values that we have grown up with and we need to stay with, and how important it is to stay godly, I mean, to following God's path. Because if a community doesn't, or if a nation doesn't, they're in trouble, as America is today.
Mark and Sticks, Mark, my co-hosts are in studio with me. Mark and Sticks, you guys have any questions for the senator?
Yeah, the one comment I have is that this isn't a black-white issue per se. I mean, this is a problem that spreads across the spectrum of our society generally, maybe a little bit more acute in the African-American community. But if you look at the way things are in the country right now, there's a lack of values across the board. There's an article in the Washington Times today, which I think was kind of interesting, talking about employment. And it basically says that all the jobs created in the United States since the year 2000 have not gone to Native Americans. They've gone to immigrants, all of the jobs. That the increase that from 2000 to now, 5 million jobs were created. All of them went to immigrants, and the participation rate is at an all-time low for Native Americans. And it has jumped. We now have, I'm looking for the figure over here. I lost it. My eyes aren't that great. But we now have 48.6 million Americans not in the labor pool, and that is up 13 million from the year 2000. That's really kind of interesting, and it's a value of work. Now, these folks are coming in taking jobs Americans won't do.
You know, I got to throw this in because I believe this. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And for some reason, we have made it a society who no longer wants to work. And because people are not working, they're not satisfied. So no matter how you try to get full, you can't get full if you're not satisfied by the means in which you receive your meal. And because America is not working as it should, they're toiling and they're laboring, but they're not working, because there's a difference. They don't have the self-satisfaction, because there's a satisfaction that comes with work.
Now, I'm looking at these figures over here. We have 22.4 million immigrants of working age held jobs beginning of this year, up 5.3 million from 2000. Native-born workers have dropped 1.3 million over the same period, from 114 million to 113 million. I think those are stunning, stunning figures. Senator, how do we go about fixing this?
One way that we don't do it is by bringing in 20 million new workers into the American equation. Right now, and I agree with you that this is not a black issue or white issue, it's an American issue, but I must digress from that point just for a second. The black community is not a part of the immigration debate. We've been sidelined because we're in the hip pockets of the Democrats. They are not paying attention to us or our needs, and because Republicans don't know us, they're not paying attention to our needs. But if you look at our school system, our school systems, our hospital systems, our social security system, and our jobs, by adding 20 million new people to those systems, the community that's going to be affected worst of all will be the black community. And no one's paying attention to our needs because we've sidelined ourselves. We've played hip pocket politics with the Democrats. And so they don't even need to take us out of the hip pocket to listen to us. They don't even take us out to kiss us.
Will we listen? I mean, because I understand what you're saying, and I believe what you're saying is true. But even when Republicans come out and try to speak to the black community to find out what they want, you don't hear a conversation back.
We have to open those doors to the black community, to Republicans. It's our job now to really go into the black communities and create a climate where they will at least listen with a half open ear to what Republicans have to say.
How do you combat racism issues, the accusations of racism? It has been said for so long. It's almost become, I don't know. It's almost insurmountable. I mean, it's we're Republicans, we must be racist. We're Republicans, we must be sexist. We're Republicans, we must hate immigrants. We're Republicans, we want to throw granny over the cliff. And the media keeps propounding that. I don't even know how you start to begin to combat it other than, you know, I come on folks like Tracy's show, and Styx comes on folks like Tracy's show to say, try to talk to folks, but I don't know who's listening.
And don't forget, we want to poison the water and the air too.
Yes,
that's true.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We want to poison the water and the air.
Hate the environment.
Especially, I mean,
it is.
Yes, Senator. Especially, I mean, being from Louisiana, you're a big oil state.
Yes. Yes, we are.
And oil makes Louisiana's economy run. Oil and agriculture. We really
is it a bad thing?
I'm satisfied with oil. The oil industry is oil and gas industries actually are being very environmentally conscious. They're being very responsible. There will always be industrial accidents, accidents of all kinds. And so the BP spill occurred a few years ago, but much of it has been cleaned up. Everyone is pretty satisfied with the way things worked out. So we're going forward. Jobs and cheap electricity.
Senator, talk to us a little bit about Louisiana. And,
hey, what you doing?
I'm on.
And tell us, what's the political climate down there? What's the state of the Louisiana economy? How's the state doing? Because up here in Ohio, outside of New Orleans, we don't hear a whole heck of a lot about Louisiana.
Well, Louisiana is one of the top five business-friendly states in our nation. The oil center of Louisiana, which is in the Lafayette area down in Cajun land, is the fastest-growing economy in the state of Louisiana. Our school system is really bad. Almost 40% of our, well, a little more than 40% of our schools are sub-performing, DNF-performing schools. About half of our students do not graduate, drop out from school. So the education is pretty bad, but we're working to make some reforms in education. The Bobby Jindal governor, his administration has really done a lot to reform education. Not all the reforms are perfect, as are few things on earth, but we're working to tweak them and make those work. Unemployment is lower in Louisiana than in most of the other states in our country. So things are going pretty well in Louisiana. There are a few things that we need to deal with. You know, we are a red state. We voted Republican in the last two elections, although most Louisianans are registered Democrats. So we have this little dichotomy where most Louisianans are registered Democrats and vote Republican. Tradition, and we're working on it, but it's tradition. And that's in both communities, in the white and black communities.
Larry, your mic is on.
Yeah, I just wanted to first applaud the senator for what he did. I watched the speech, too, and it kind of, Tracy, reminded me of Ken Blackwell back in 2004 when I first heard him talk about the same thing, value voting. Senator, how do you how do you get to that message where you are talking to the? Because that's what we have as a Republican problem is our branding and our marketing. How do you get to that level where you where they'll open it here? Because what Tracy and I and Jeff and some of the other African American conservatives up here north, we've been marginalized. They don't listen to us. They're tone deaf. How do you open their ears to be able to hear that message? Because it is a good message, what you said about how this immigration bill is going to affect the African-American community.
Well, the challenge that you outline is the great challenge that does face us who are the messengers right now. We're using modern techniques, social media, we're using radio, we're using television, and a lot of personal meetings, small meetings. We're doing a grassroots organizing effort around small organizations and churches, neighborhoods, going in and sitting down and just talking about the history of the Republican Party from its founding in 1854 and all of the civil rights advances in this country have come at the hands of Republicans and over the opposition of Democrats. To open the eyes of our community is not easy, But we have to do it, and we have to do it often, and we have to do it with a lot of energy. As you have pointed out, it's not popular.
Do you feel like I do that, you know, if we don't get it right, we're going to lose it? Because I think we have a great heritage. And I think that we are a great people. But when I look at our young people, and when I look at my community, and I live in the inner city, and when I look around, my heart bleeds, and the love that I have for my people, and see them being taken advantage of, and to see them being mobilized for somebody else's gain, and to be marginalized for somebody else's gain, where we never get it right. And when you talked about education down there in Louisiana, if we don't start waking up and getting our children to school, getting them in those chairs and getting them into the position of learning, we won't have a Black America in 50 years.
That is so true. That is so true. If we don't get it right, we aren't going to be here. This is the first time. I live where my family has lived for 150 years. We bought this property from our former slave masters right after slavery. And still in the same place, during all the years that I've grown up, there was never a man that you could see during the daytime walking around or sitting around because he was at work. Today, there are so many men who are just sitting here. As I look out my window, I can see three men, young 40-something men who are able-bodied, just sitting, drinking and cooking in the middle of the day.
Just kicking it.
That's right. And it's
just kicking it.
That our community is facing its death knell when we would rather sit and not support our families and not support ourselves and not be a factor, not be a force for anything, but just sitting back and getting a little check in the mail. It's over for us. We've got to come out of this.
Because when you talk about morals, you know, I look at a man, and a man is supposed to take care of his family. He's supposed to be the head of his house. Not having 72% of African-American children being raised in single-family homes, the majority of them being women, and 45% of African-American women never being married, and we just having babies for the sake of having babies, and then killing the ones we don't want.
Terrible.
There was a book that was out I saw on television the other day called Men on Strike. And they talk about the role of men in society. And, you know, listening to this conversation, it dawns on me. And if you look at the African-American community, and this is a predominant problem over there, it certainly has bled over into the white community because our men aren't doing much better.
No. It's an emasculation of all men.
Yeah, the marginalization has been unbelievable. And when you've got a media who's continually pounding on these ultra-liberal views of life, it's really tough to combat. They get it in the schools, they get it on the radio, they get it on television. It's almost like, you know, geez, where do we go? What do we do?
I'm sad to see the spread of garbage. We've permitted garbage into our community, and I'm sad to see that garbage spreading deeply into the white community. And I'm talking about the vile language, the violent language on our radios and our music, and the violent video games that we brainwash our children with and make them violent and marginalized. It is a national problem, and we must stand shoulder to shoulder and stop the garbage.
Senator Drew, how long do we have you for?
As long as you want me.
Well, good. Will you hold on? Let me take my break. Let me pay a couple bills, and let me come right back. I'm talking with Senator Lee Guillory. Am I pronouncing your last name right?
Yes, Guillory. Albert Lee Guillory.
Guillory.
Yes.
Elder Lee Guillory. And he is a former senator of Louisiana, and he's a gentleman who was a Democrat who crossed over to the Republican side. He said he couldn't take it any longer because he had to stand on what he believed. And so we're talking with him, and I'm looking forward to coming back in studio with Sticks and Mark Mangi. I'm going to see who else is on. Larry was in the chat room, and I think Diva's out there too. Looks like Alabama's chiming in. I'll be right back. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Favorite station really helps you out. Thanks to iHeartRadio, you can take your favorite station and your mobile device. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com.
Crowds are growing where officials are calling for Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi to step down. Officials for the president say a military coup is underway. The crowd is getting louder a year after the military government was forced out. Ben Brown with our colleagues at the BBC is there.
There are fears there could be more violence. In the last few days, we've seen a lot of people killed and many injured in and around Cairo. Clashes between demonstrators, supporters of the president, opponents of the president. And it can't be ruled out. There'll be more dangerous hours ahead.
At least 39 people have been killed in several days of demonstrations. Firehouses around the country will hold moments of silence in memory of the 19 firefighters who were killed battling a huge wildfire in Arizona as an investigation into the incident begins.
The head of Florida State Forest Service will lead the probe into the fatal fire in Arizona. Jim Carles will work to figure out why what was believed to have been a manageable lightning-ignited wildfire turned into a death trap that left no escape for the team of 19 firefighters. His findings could shape future firefighting tactics and equipment.
ABC's Alex Stone. Prosecutors in Florida casting George Zimmerman as a wannabe cop.
The jury heard from a Virginia police agency that George Zimmerman had applied for a job, and they heard he had applied to ride along with police here in Sanford.
What is that reason?
The states here solidify my chances of a law enforcement career, I believe, a career in law enforcement.
Desire to be a policeman, prosecutors said, shows no wrongdoing, but they believe it's relevant to Zimmerman's state of mind the night he shot Trayvon Martin. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Sanford, Florida.
At least one child is dead after a large tree fell through the dining hall at Camp Tawanga near Yosemite National Park. An early July 4th close in the markets, Dow up 56 points. This is ABC News.
I need to archive emails to comply with business regulations.
Do you have an IT guy to help search through thousands of PST files?
No.
Got time to install a complicated product or create detailed reports?
No.
You okay paying storage fees to save duplicate emails and images?
No.
Offshore automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
The Barracuda Message Archiver lets you store and find emails fast to avoid compliance and litigation penalties. Easy setup and single instance storage will save you time and money.
And if you need help, you'll talk to a live human.
Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Nearly 41 million Americans will travel over the 4th of July, but will they do it safely?
The vast majority of those traveling for the holiday are doing so by car or truck. That presents a need for extra caution. The AAA's Doug Shoup quotes new figures showing that texting takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds at a time.
At 55 miles per hour, that's like traveling the length of an entire football field blindfolded.
Equally dangerous, of course, is drunken driving. In many cities, the AAA is offering its Tipsy Toe service as a last resort for people who've had too much alcohol to safely get behind the wheel. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Bolivia accusing the U.S. of being behind an unscheduled overnight stop for its president. Evo Morales' plane was rerouted to Austria, allegedly because of suspicions that he was taking leaker Edward Snowden to Latin America. Morales was visiting Moscow. Snowden is believed to be stuck in the airport there, seeking asylum from more than a dozen countries. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The Cumulus Health Club and Progressive Women's Care in Youngstown and Boardman present today's health tip. Pregnancy and childbirth are exciting, but they can also be stressful. So the best healthcare partner is the one you feel comfortable with and can communicate with easily. And since you already have a busy schedule, look for a practice like Dr. Canby's Progressive Women's Care, who works hard to provide you with personalized, comprehensive, and affordable care in obstetrics, gynecology, and infertility. Progressive Women's Care's experienced team of professionals assist women of all ages by providing individualized healthcare from family planning to the birth of your baby. 20s and into the later stages of life when women may face menopausal symptoms. The main office is located at 7600 Southern Boulevard. The north side office is at 500 Gypsy Lane. If you are pregnant, trying to become pregnant, or simply need your yearly exam, please call 330-629-8466 or visit progressivewomenscare.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon again, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And you can catch us here on WSOM AM 600. In studio with me is Mark Mangi and Sticks.
Hello.
And Larry's on the phone. And we have the former Louisiana senator from, his name is Elder Lee Guillory. Did I get that right?
That's very good.
Good going. And I am honored to have him on with me. And we're just talking about politics. We're talking about the black community. We're talking about Republican and Democrat and the future. And he, you may have heard about him if you listen to any conservative radio. You heard people talk about this guy who was a former senator. He said he no longer could handle the values of the Democrat Party, and he was going to withdraw, and he was going to switch over and become a Republican. And I'm like, whoa, who is it? And Sticks went out and found him. And I was like, wow,
good
Sticks,
job,
that's
Sticks.
What I'm saying. Good job.
This Senator is a great guy. I've
yes, he is.
To him.
And Alabama, I'm going to pull you up in just a second, but I've got to ask, Senator.
Yes.
I'm not going to ask you your age, but you've been around for a little while.
Yes.
We have some African-American leadership in our community that tends to be somewhat disingenuous with their care. Because I don't know about you, but as a former office holder, you have a passion for what you do and do the right thing. But there are some things you were willing to fall on your sword for, and selling people out, especially people that look like you, was not one of them. Tell me how in the world we got people who went from fighting for the minimum abortions in the inner city to champion pro-choice in the black community, from standing up for no justice, no peace, to saying that everything that we do now, including the Affordable Health Care Act, is going to help black people. From demon, you know I'm telling the truth.
Yes,
from hailing the victories of promoting African Americans in political service to demonizing people who don't walk in lockstep with the Democrat Party. How in the world do we get here? And the NAACP care more about gay rights than they do about black folks working.
Isn't that amazing? First, before I answer your question, first let me tell you, I'm still an active senator.
Okay.
I will stand for re-election in 2 years, unless something takes me off track, like running for lieutenant governor or something else like
that.
I
like that.
That sounds like a good idea. Jeez.
We have let a bunch of hustlers take over our community. One reason, I'm 69, one reason I got into elected office about 7 years ago, when most of my classmates were retiring, is because I hate what had been happening to our political leadership. The fellow who was ahead of me took good care of his family. Everybody in his family, including the family dog, was on the government take. They were all had government jobs, but the rest of us received nothing. Our community received nothing. It's just a huge ripoff of our community. And we have to fight that. We have to draw the line. Old warriors, if necessary, have to come back onto the battlefield and fight for our community. We've got to take it back. It's a matter of taking back our nation and taking back our community.
Because I found out when you disagree with the people, they really get upset with you because you're supposed to walk in lockstep. You're supposed to, almost like slavery. I'm supposed to say yes to master, and it's supposed to be okay.
Well, that's what it is. It's a big government plantation, and it's a new form of slavery maintained by these little government giveaways that keeps a whole large group of people uneducated and tied to the plantation by their little giveaways, little donations.
And they never let you get ahead.
Now
go ahead, Alabama. Hold on. 337, your mic is on. That's you, Louisiana. Larry, your mic is on.
Well, again, when the senator's done fixing Louisiana as a whole, I'd love for him to be the U.S. senator down there and help us down in D.C. I think I heard him say he was 69 years young. You're still young enough to go ahead and fix Louisiana and then come help us down in Washington, D.C. as a U.S. senator.
I appreciate that. My mom is 104. My dad died when he was 102. The Lord's willing, I'm going to be here to fight this fight for a long time. And I will go where he leads me. But as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm breathing, I will be a warrior on this battlefield.
Senator, have you saw? I'm sorry, Tracy.
Go ahead, Larry. I just want to know why.
Senator, have you saw some of the negative attack dogs since your speech, like Dr. Carson did, where it was people that looked like him that were sent out to try to tear the man down, and all he did was speak the truth and he really spoke it well. Have you had that reaction yet?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a little disheartening. There's a woman who has been a good political ally of mine. I've worked with her community the way that no politician has in the past, and even her family. I've worked to uplift her family through some personal times. They sent her, I was doing a radio show, and they sent her with a script, and I could hear her reading it. I could hear her turning the pages, reading the script that they gave to her to attack me and to call me things like sellout and Uncle Tom. It's just so disheartening that folks in our community will do those kinds of things. But it is what it is. That's the battle that we must fight. And so I just hold on to the Lord's hand and keep walking, keep stepping.
Senator, I'm
here. Well, I applaud you, Senator.
What'd you say, Larry? What'd you say, Mark?
Go ahead, Mark.
What do you think about the Paula Deen flap? When you talk about people calling you names and venom spewing forth from the other side, then here comes Paula Deen and says a stupid thing to her husband 30 years ago, and they're trying to bankrupt the woman. What do you think?
I'm sorry that whole Paula Deen thing descended into names. We're focusing on names that she used, on words that she used some years ago, but that was never the issue. The issue was how do you treat people? You can sticks and stones and break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's what Mom taught me a long time ago.
But my mama taught me the same
yep.
thing.
How you treat people that will count.
I've been called all kinds of names all my life, and some of the same names that other people have called me, I've called myself and my friends. So I'm not going to get uptight about a word that she used some years ago. What I want to know is, how does she treat people today? And how does she treat people then? That's the only measure of her character. But if we pretend, if we get so holy that we pretend that the word that she used is not a part of the American lexicon, then we're fooling ourselves and being foolish.
You can learn that. I feel exactly the same way. But you know what's interesting? When I'm on Facebook and I've got my friends on Facebook who, for the most part, seem to be of the other bent than myself, you know, they post all this horrible, horrible stuff, and I'm about ready to defriend a bunch of them. You know, it makes me feel bad because there's no way I can fight back. You know, I look at they're horrible posters, horrible pictures. You know, just names, and if you have a policy discussion with them, it's like next to impossible. And there are several of them that do it to me, and I try not to make me feel bad, but you know what? It makes me feel bad. I'm not going to lie. You know, when I see those horrible things, they know me, and I know they're talking about me. And if you're active in politics, that must be tough hearing some of that horrible stuff, and you know it's not true, and they don't stop. They keep at it.
I look at what he's saying and what's going on here. Paul, you know, this is my problem. I don't get it. I don't get Paula Deen's issue because it's not recent. How in the world do you go after someone after saying something that long ago because she said yes in a deposition?
She told the truth.
And why would we allow it? Why would we allow? Because I mean, you know how many times I've been called an N-word. As a matter of fact, in recent history, by business owners in here that were Democrats locally here.
Yes, ma'am. I know.
They called me a leprechaun.
Whoa!
And I walked away and didn't go to jail. I thought it was really good. I did good. Really, you don't understand. I have a bad temper. I did very well. I walked away, I grinned, and I said, "Wow, I'm good. Thank God for Jesus."
Was this in a public place?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
In a restaurant locally.
Oh wow.
And so you have to understand. This is, you know, having being called the N-word is not new to people who are in over 30 years, 30, 40 years old in America.
True.
And every white person that has ever called somebody the N-word, they all need to quit their jobs tomorrow. And we need to understand that. So why would they allow this to happen, and why would we allow it to happen to Paula Deen? Because she cooks black food?
She's perceived to be... And this goes generally speaking, and Senator, you would know about this. There seems to be a built-in bias by people from the North and northern media against folks from the South. And
yes. Here
she's a white Southern woman, even though she worked for Obama. They forgot to talk about that.
Yeah. She did work for the president.
And
bet you she learned now.
And that bias from the South, no matter how you know the. They don't want to let go of that bias. They're going to keep pounding that bias because it must make them feel better, you know, superior, intellectually superior, elitist.
But if you want to know, I mean, seriously, if you want to overcome stupidity like name calling like that, then you do it through education and economics. There's nothing worse than somebody treating you bad and you becoming their boss.
Yeah.
That makes a good feeling.
I agree with that 100%.
Are you buying them out? You really?
The names, I really don't. I just cannot get excited about the names, about the words. It's about the treatment.
I'm quite sure down there in Louisiana, somebody in your history has called you the N-word too.
If I only had a dollar for every time, I'd fly my jet to my private island somewhere.
And if we were so sensitive about the word, then why do we market it like we do?
Yes, we do. I hear it on the radio every day.
Every day.
When the brothers drive their cars by, I can hear it booming from the boxes. So why get so uptight about a word? that's just a part of the American lexicon.
South Carolina, your mic is on, honey.
Good morning, Tracy. Good afternoon, actually. I'm sorry.
Good afternoon.
This is Mike. That's who you're talking
to,
right?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hey. Oh, because I'm in South Carolina. Sometimes you have the
there
gentleman who calls himself South Carolina. Thank you. I just want to thank you so much for finding this the good senator. I heard his story, I guess, a week or so ago, and I actually stood up from my desk and did a little happy dance, okay, because I admire people of personal conviction and courage. Senator Gilrey, I just wanted to thank you for your courage on that and for standing up. When I was 14 years old in high school, we were forced to read the book Profiles in Courage by John Kennedy. It was on the reading list. And that book changed my life because of the stories in there. And I think if they rewrote that book, they'd have to include you this time.
I thank you very much. That's a tremendous compliment. I will try to live up to it.
Well, you already have, sir. You already have. You are not in an easy place to do what you did. It's one thing to be standing on an island safe, but it's another thing to walk into the lion's den and do what you did. So congratulations to your parents for bringing you up this way.
Thank you. I'll tell my mother what you said tonight.
Thank you. You're blessed to have her still alive. God bless you. Tracy, the other thing, too, is just because tomorrow is July 4th, I just wanted to thank Stix and Jeff and some of the other folks on your staff who were veterans, and I want to thank them for their service, and I'm proud to be an American with them.
You're quite welcome, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to just be quiet and listen.
Mike, I don't count.
I didn't know you were
in
the service, huh?
I wasn't. I don't.
Oh, well, I'm
They would. I wasn't smart enough to be in the service.
I tried, but they found out I was blind and threw me out after 2 years. But that's another story for another telling. I still got some old freelance writer dogging me for 30 years now. He wants the story. He wants to do a movie about that. I go, no way, no way.
Oh, boy, don't be chicken. Don't be chicken. Senator.
U.S. Navy.
I have. Congrats. You were in the Navy also?
Oh, yes. United States Navy, 64 to 68.
Ooh, the
whole
up years. You saw action.
Wow.
Then.
It was a warm time in America's history.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
That's where I was, Senator. I was a Southern sailor. And yourself?
Oh. Tracy, I know you're near the end of the show, but I would love to get the Senator's take, because that was an interesting time in our nation's history in the military and all. In the Navy, I would love to ask him questions about, did he see covert or overt discrimination?
Yes.
Where there's equality? I've had some friends, and you've got to shake your head and just wonder, how did you serve knowing the way you were treated? You know, it wasn't as an equal, but yet you did an equal job.
I was expelled from a university a couple of years, just before I joined the Navy. I was expelled for writing things. I was the editor-in-chief of the newspaper. I wrote things like, if we serve, if we pay your taxes and fight your wars, then, America, you must open your doors. I went into the military so that I could take the moral high ground.
Mm-hmm.
I can always say, you've got to open your doors to me because I put my life on the line for you, for this country.
I know.
It was a personal thing that I had to do.
I hear you.
Yes, a lot of discrimination. I'm an excellent swimmer and an ex-lifeguard. When I went in and wanted to be a Navy SEAL and a diver, but I was not, despite my overqualifications for that, that was not going to be for me because of the amount of discrimination at that time. But that's okay. It's a matter of kicking the doors down one door at a time.
Yeah, yeah. I have a dear friend here in South Carolina who is your age, by the way, Senator, and he was in the military around the same time, and he was telling me some of the same story. He is a black man also, and he, you just shake your head and go, how could anybody be so ignorant? How could, I don't know. And then, but yet, there's a history of this, and it's not just the black folks. What about the Japanese Americans who fought while other Japanese Americans here were being put in internment camps? What about the Native Americans who fought, and to this day, you know, many of which don't get a fair shake unless they're on a reservation somewhere and stuff. And it's just all wrong, and it's just got to go away, and the sooner the better.
go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, Senator, I have to ask you. I don't remember my naval history that well. At that time, was every rating closed to black Americans except for Stewart? Was that still in a force?
No, it was not. It had changed. I was a yeoman.
Okay.
And a
quartermaster. Okay.
Senator, let me ask you this, because you were... People died. I look at your generation, and I look at, you know, my parents, and I look at what the struggles that they went through so that I can have and my children's children can have the freedoms that we have. What happened to us passing and having the same passion to make it sure that the next generation can live better than we did?
This government plantation, this giveaway mentality has destroyed our initiative. It has destroyed our self-respect as a community. You're right. There was always a desire that each generation would be better than, would fare better than the former generation. And now we don't do it. My folks worked very hard to make sure that their kids went to college, got an education, so that their kids would do better and their kids would do better. That was the expectation, but no longer, and it's sad.
Because, Senator, we look at Robinson, the baseball player.
Yes.
And my dad played for the Indians back in the early 60s and the late 50s. And he would tell me stories about when they went on when they traveled. He had to sleep in the boiler rooms because he wasn't allowed to sleep in the rooms if they didn't have black hotels in the cities in which they lived, or which way they were playing. So they had to sleep in the basement. They were not allowed to go into the restaurants and eat with the players. They gave them a sack lunch out the back door. And this was not only for baseball. It was for football. It was for basketball. They did not have the freedoms. You know, when you look at the Medgar Evers, when you look at the senator that we're talking to right now, and the tongue biting that they had to do, and the crow that they had to eat, so that I could sit here on radio, and even in my small little quadrant, and have the freedom of speech, and to have my political will, and have the right to vote independently. And to have that taken away and have education stripped from us. People died so that I could read. Now we can read and won't read. Senator, I don't know what we do to start getting people, because I look at the money that these other people have. I look at the Oprahs and the other, and they're so liberal in their thought that they think that they don't owe the future anything. They won't even give to it, and the rest of them died for it. People were beaten and hosed down for our liberties, and I don't think we quite get it. You have any take on that?
Yes, and the Voting Rights Act, the decision that the Supreme Court made a couple of weeks ago, is a perfect example of what you're saying right now. We have started to take for granted our rights and responsibilities as Americans. We've taken for granted that the battles that were fought to get us education, as you just mentioned, the right to vote, and we don't do it. We vote at people died for us to be able to get into the voting booth, and now we stay home and barbecue, go to the hairdresser. We vote at 15%, 20% sometimes. That we're just taking it for granted. Maybe we need to. I wasn't upset by that Supreme Court decision. We may need to struggle a little bit more, and so we can appreciate and exercise these rights.
And I feel like this. It was for 9 states, and those 9 states no longer need to be sectioned out of the 50. We need to understand that we are a part of this inclusive body and start working in it. Yeah, we're going to have obstacles that we have to overcome. And know the racism is still alive and well, but it's not aligned with party and politics.
That's correct.
And we need to stand up and prove people wrong. But right now, I look at the Trayvon Martin thing, and we are so disingenuous that we would go and march for this one kid, but 24 people can get shot in Chicago, and we never say a word. How many people got shot down in New Orleans down there that weekend?
Amen. Amen.
I mean, I'm serious. I mean, we want to weep for Trayvon, but we don't want to do nothing for the rest of the other children out there. Come on.
We can
black kids dying every day.
We can go half a continent away to deal with that and ignore the big, big problem in our own backyard.
So why is that? Why are we so disingenuous with our who shoots who and who cares about whom? I look at the president, he comes out and he is against firearms, but we have had a firearm problem in the inner city for a very, very long time. So is he really going after illegal guns, or is he going after the rights of Americans?
He's certainly not going after the problems, the root problems that cause it, which is a culture of violence and a culture of killing that is permitted by some of the garbage that comes into our community.
So how do we do that? How do we change this? You, my senior senator. How do we change this? How do we make this change? How do we wake people up and get them out of this funk and make them move forward?
I'm going to preach the word that every chance I get, particularly in the black community, to our churches, to small groups. I'm going to bring the history of Democrats and Republicans to anybody who will listen to me. And I'm going to depend on you young folk, because I'm part of the generation that messed this up. I'm depending on these young folk to bring us back, to get us back to where we were 50 years ago, because that was a heck of a lot farther than we are today.
Private caller, your mic is on.
Hello?
Hello, your mic's on.
Okay, yeah, this is Michigan. I don't know why I showed up private.
Oh, that's all right.
That's fine. Yeah, the senator.
Yes.
Just a little bit of a different, well, not a little bit of a different take, but a big difference. You know, I hear you guys analyzing, you know, blacks' issues from a perspective, and you talked about, you know, blacks dying so that we can vote. But really, I think what the blacks died for was trying to get access to what they believe to be a lever of control inside of European culture. And that is what they believed that they were after. And so that was the intro into politics. Now, whether or not it actually is a good level of control for blacks is a separate thing. That's what they believed it to be. And that's different from sending the message out to that people died so you could vote. So those blacks were trying to survive, and they thought that voting and being involved in the political process would get them access to what Europeans have always had access to. Now, that is a much different view than the one that you all are giving people. And I think that they should have them both. And I think history proves that. And I've said this before to you, Tracy, and very little of what blacks need to get out of this muck, I say, will be done in the political process, very little of it. And I know you agree with that, and I think to some degree the politicians, particularly the ones at the federal level, black politicians, are just as much as a stalemate as integration stalemate. Continuously trying to push blacks deeper and deeper into the political system with this lollipop of, hey, this is the angle. I think it's just disingenuous, and it also is just as much of the problem as the brothers killing themselves. Now, that's my take.
Okay. Senator, you want to speak to that?
That's above my pay grade.
Senator, Michigan, this is where you know you and I disagree. You will never become a part of the solution until you become a part of the whole body. And our problem is we want to have exclusive status and be separate from everyone else, but yet we want to have inclusive freedoms and inclusive of shall I say liberalities. And you can't do that. We're either going to have to be a part of the system and get in it and change it to make it right, or we're going to always be on the outside looking in, because you're never going to change it from the outside. And the legislative process of America is how it actually operates. Everything we touch, everything we own, everything we do has a legislative property to it. And until we understand that you have to be a part of that process, we will always be outsiders looking in, no matter what color we are. African-Americans, African-Americans, because of our exclusivity and wanting special treatment, it has caused them to weaken us and given them the opportunity to take us and to change us into something that we are not. We are going to have to wake up, get an education, and become a part of the process, and then change the process and turn it in the direction that we want it to go, just like everyone else. Because right now, everyone has an influence in our society, in our community, in our government, but us. And we are being manipulated and navigated and mobilized and used and abused like a battered wife because of our ignorance. And we keep on going back and sucking on the same man's without getting anything from it. And until we wake up and say no more, I will no longer be battered. I will take the hit. I will leave my comfort and my security, but I will not allow you to use me any longer. We will always be where we are. Because you will never win standing on the outside wearing a dashiki trying to change something.
Amen, my sister.
Wow.
Well, I would say, Tracy, much of what you said, you know, does not speak to the issue I spoke to. But, you know, and I heard the senator say that that's above his pay grade for the statements that I made, which I understand why he would say that. But that's fine.
I'm just saying you've been an office holder. If you had had the support
yes,
of the
I
people
have.
That you needed, and if you had had the support of the people that you needed to get all the legislation that you need to get passed, would you have made systemic change in your community?
Well, I would have to answer
that was a yes or no question.
It's not. Actually, why, Tracy? Because I'll give you an example of a particular piece of legislation that even having the control of the people or the locus of control at the level, at the city council level, what we were trying to do affected the jobs at the county level for whites. And so what we needed, it didn't just come from local. It needed to go back at the county level and thus then to the state level. And so, and most of the things that we were trying to do had to be rerouted that way. So it wasn't like at the
you
local
missed my
level
point.
We could make.
No,
no, I did not
Chicago.
Miss your
I mean,
point. You
Michigan, Michigan, you, I did, and you danced over it. What I said to you was, if you had had the support of the people, and I'm not talking about the people of making it pass. I'm talking about the people of making it pass and seeing it through. So you have to understand, you just can't pass legislation without administration.
I just told you, Tracy, we could pass all of the legislation we wanted at the local level, and we did. But the things that we needed to do, the type of legislation and the type of moves, economic moves that we needed to make, I was going to give you an example. We wanted to bring in this plant that took waste along with the old road, and they combined them together, and you were able to reuse it for paving the road. Now, in order for us to do that, we had to fight the county, which controlled the landfills, which you're talking about multi-millions of dollars. All right. Then at the state level, you also had that because of the environmental things of that nature. They crushed it.
I think you missed my point. I think you missed it. Hold on. I got to go pick up another call. 773, your mic is on.
Well, with Michigan Man, I know he always talks about going back to Africa and, black folks going back to Africa. But face it, every black person ain't going to be able to go back to Africa. Well, black
Africa don't
now,
want you.
Let me finish. Black folks have to find a culture that they will be on the same line and thinking and economics, and then won't be scattered. And they don't have that here in America. They need to adopt one here because they're going to be extinct pretty soon here in America. You just look at the numbers. They don't have a culture here. Every other ethnic group, minority here in America, has a culture, and they're moving up the ranks. Black folks do not have a culture, and they have to create a culture here for economics and be on a straight line. They can't get scattered in thinking. You can't have 100,000 people thinking this way in economics, 100,000 people thinking that way in economics. You're not going to get anything done.
Actually, all we have to do is go back to the basics. It's not rocket science. We just got to go back to God, family, and country.
But Tracy, your 50,000 churches have sold black people out. So you might have one.
I told you they got the Margaret Sanger syndrome.
Well, you might have one or two that's actually trying to rebuild the communities. The majority of them not. So. You have to have 50,000 of those black churches on the same.
But
page
Chicago, let me say this. let me reiterate what I said. When I say God, I didn't say church. There's a difference. There's a major difference.
Need an organization that is going bringing in dollars, which is the black churches bringing in.
No, it's not.
The majority of the dollars in the black that's black owned.
You will never,
church.
you will never get that money.
Yeah.
You'll never get those money. You'll never get those dollars.
Let me pose something as an outsider. If every black person in this country ran their finances the way it says to run your finances in Proverbs, you would be the most powerful economic force in the United States.
Absolutely,
and that's a complete falsehood.
No, and I knew you was going to go there. No, I'm just saying.
It can be proven. I mean,
we're not going to go on. I don't want to go on a religious conversation. What I'm saying is,
okay,
we don't have to worry about what's going on. If a man took care of his children, a woman closed her legs and didn't have babies outside of her husband, and they raise those children with integrity, respect, and with an education, and to become independent. That is the core and the foundation of success.
And all that
right
is
now,
around economics, Tracy. A lot of black males are not staying with the family because of economics.
Chicago. Listen to what I said. I said if a man is not a male, a man provides for his family. He does not have children. He cannot feed. See, our problem is we keep on having babies we cannot afford.
So that goes back to Margaret Sanger. If you can't afford
kids,
then you don't have any kids. So then you're being
that's
eliminated.
What I'm that
so
listen that's what I'm
that
Chicago
goes back to economics. It
Chicago, that's not economic.
Yes,
Chicago. Listen, Chicago, right now, no matter how
economic.
No matter how much money I'm making, I'm still at a 50% divorce rate in America. So it can't be all around money.
So are Europeans. So that, and their culture.
That's what I'm saying.
Quite well. No,
but what I'm saying is,
but
Chicago, no. Listen, Europeans aren't running around having 10 babies by 10 different girls and then dropping dropping dead over a bad drug deal on the corner and Social Security picking up those 10 babies.
Chrissy.
Go ahead, Senator.
Go ahead. We are in, as a community, we are in bad shape. We have to take care of ourselves. We can't depend on somebody from the outside to come and take care of us. We have been, for the last 400 years, the most hardworking, most industrious people in America. There used to be a term, you working like an ant.
Yes,
that was a tremendous compliment to our community, which meant to the person that they were saying that to, is that you are now meeting the highest standard in America of industry, of hard work, which was the black community. That's what black men did then. And what Tracy is saying about what we have to do as black men is correct. We have to take care of our own. We have to zip our pants if we can't afford to handle what comes out, the consequences of what comes after we unzip them.
Then I need to keep my legs shut if you ain't got nothing.
Correct.
Yeah, Tracy,
now you're talking about individually. See, when black folks,
Chicago.
About groups. You're talking about individually. If you're talking about moving in a group economics, then you have to work as a group in economics and put your resources together. If you're talking individually, then that's just individually. That's
listen,
fine.
Chicago,
if you're talking
Chicago,
about
sweetie,
economics, you have to move in a group, not just
Chicago,
one person.
You cannot do anything for a group unless you can do it for yourself. It does no good for me to do. It does no good for me to do and set up another government system to where something else is going to take care of you. Everyone has to take up their own independent responsibility and then work together as a group. You cannot do it because it will do me.
And you see it's not working wrong.
No, guys, it does work. The problem is we won't. No, it worked. No, it worked.
It does not.
What do you mean it does not?
It does not.
Because you
are you crazy?
You're talking about there is you're the only one who's seeing things as an individual. Any successful individual that you can find will have themselves aligned in multiple ways with organizations, institutions, and groups.
But
any,
you're missing the point.
Shallow.
Because if you don't know how to feed yourself, you can't feed someone else. In our community right now, we're trying to align ourselves with groups and with other people without taking a bath of our own. You've got to take care of yourself.
Okay, but Tracy,
and the problem is I cannot take care of you. And hold on.
If the white companies are not going to hire you, who are if you ain't working in the group as a black?
Are you missing my point? No, if you don't go, if you don't go and get your own education. If you don't get an education for yourself, I as a black woman or you as a white man, you're not going to hire either one of you.
Exactly.
You've got to get your education on your own.
And that comes
from your family.
Look at the numbers of whites unemployed. So if blacks are looking for jobs for white companies,
I have never seen anything like this in my life. If you don't take care of your family unit, you will never be successful anywhere else. That's what I'm saying. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Valvoline Motor Oil with next-gen technology. All the engine protection you will ever need in a 50% recycled oil that is designed specifically for today's hotter running engines. Finally, performance meets environment. Valvoline Motor Oil with next-gen technology.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at AIWHealth.com.
Hey.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
26th anniversary sale going on right now, Marianne. 26 years of satisfying thousands of customers says it all. And in honor of that, we're giving you 26% off on all our great American-made WeatherTight windows, siding, entry and patio doors, kitchen cabinet or facing, and gutter covers. And check out more specials. Check our webpage, myweathertight.com and weathertightwindows.com, or take a short little drive between Youngstown and Warren. We're in Liberty Township, 1596 Motor Inn Drive. We're open from 7 to 4:30, Monday through Friday. We'll keep the window open for you, too. Senior military discounts. Check us out with a BBB. Don't forget our window standalone with quality service and value. We are the real deal. Here's the number for the free estimate. 1-800-821-8483. That's 1-800-821-8483. And like always, guys, whether it be one window or house full, Mrs. Mervin, the WeatherTight guarantee you'll be satisfied with WeatherTight replacement windows for the life of your house.
Pregnancy questions? Ask Dr. Canby at ProgressiveWomen'sCare.com.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Where do you find the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio? At your local Ford dealer. The totally redesigned Fusion. Now just sign and drive away in a new Fusion with no cash due at signing. Visit drive1ohio.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I want to thank Styx for going out and taking the initiative to go and find Senator Lee Guillory. Is that right?
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
Senator, it is a pleasure to have you. I want you to come back and hang out with us again. You're always welcome.
I appreciate being here. May I say one thing before I go?
You certainly may.
In order for our nation to be strong and vibrant, it needs to encourage strong families and to reward hard work. The Democrat Party has created a class of people who believe they are helpless victims. And that's so sad, because in the United States, we live in the land of opportunity. I agree with so much with what you said. It's been an honor to be here with you.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you. It really, really has. And if we can ever do anything to help you, please don't hesitate to call me, get in touch with Styx and whatever you need. And we're here. I appreciate it. We've got about 5 more minutes. Mark, you got anything to say about all this?
No, I think it's really fascinating to hear some of the comments today. Family's the basis of everything. You got to have a strong family. That's the basis of everything. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and say racism doesn't exist in America. Of course it does. But that doesn't mean you roll over and you see what's going on, and that's across the board in this nation. I was at Wendy's today for lunch. What I saw in there, I'm stunned. Don't these people look at themselves before they go out?
No.
You know, and they got these, and I'm just floored. Now, you know, I don't understand where this country has lost its way. I don't understand why this kind of behavior is acceptable, and I'm tired of being called a racist or a feminist, an anti-feminist,
homophobe.
Sexist, homophobe, right on down the line, when all you want is a modicum of behavior so we all can get along. And I'm not seeing that, and that's across the board in this country. It's not just with the African American community. And I keep talking, I keep looking, and I'm told that I'm nuts. I don't think I'm nuts.
Sticks?
Everything Mark said, I just it amazes me the young people that don't have any decorum. And that decorum is learned in the home. You know?
It's not learned on television?
No. I mean, I tell you, I've been saying, sir, that's PBS.
I know.
That's pretty bad.
I know.
You know, how many young men automatically address an older man as sir or an older woman as ma'am?
Not like they used to, not like they should.
Only if they've been in the service.
I'm talking about high school kids.
Forget it. I'm not even going to tell you what I was called. So,
I mean, I know no other way.
I mean, in our house, unless it was an extremely close personal friend, you were not permitted to address an adult by their first name.
Now, Michigan, you do not agree with that?
But Trace, let me go here.
Go ahead, Chicago.
Well, one or two, maybe a handful of blacks will be able to move into corporate America through their creative process and make a lot of money into white institutions and companies. But if you're talking about a group of black people and you look at the numbers, they have to find a culture within economics. And they're going to have to create their own businesses in their communities and hire other blacks to succeed. Because the numbers show you that they're not succeeding when it comes to economics.
Chicago, I only got a minute left. I agree with you. But unless I got a family unit, I will never be able to go work for anyone.
Right.
Because I no longer can hire a... Now, listen to what I'm saying. I can no longer hire a substandard employee and produce a good product and train them all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's black or white.
Right.
We'll be back on Friday. And if you want to have a discussion about it, it'll be open mic. But I have to say, right now, no matter what color you are,
America was built on manufacturing. Most of those people had no education. They got out of high school.
Chicago. You got to go to work. You got to come to work. You got
to
be drug free. I got
to
deal with OSHA. And listen, you're listening to the Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. God bless your 4th of July. I hope you have a safe holiday. Please be careful if you're going to be lighting fireworks. They are mini bombs, and they can do a lot of damage, so please be careful. We'll be back on Friday, and we hope that you'll tune in. We'll see you then. God bless you, and have a good day. Mark and Styx, thanks for coming in. Senator, I appreciate you. God bless you. And those of you in the chat room, I love having you. Lethal, you need to get a job. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Heart and soul. I don't ever trade. God's the right thing.
listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
A military coup is underway, and an Egyptian state news agency says a transitional government will be announced within an hour, and the U.S. is watching carefully.
We're clearly concerned about the violence on the ground.